See, Christmas and nostalgia are pretty well wrapped up together. A lot of us talk about wanting to experience a holiday season like the ones we knew as kids. Sometimes the back-in-time wishes take us even farther back, like in Jacksonville, where Christmas takes on a Victorian cast. It's not a big surprise for a place that still looks a lot like 1880 in the downtown area. So let's talk about the features of the Victorian Christmas with Tim Balfour, who is the president of the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Glad to be here, Jeff.
How long has the Victorian Christmas celebration been going on?
You know, we were looking that up the other week, and it's kind of hard to nail down when it started, but it's going on for probably going close to 20 years.
All right, so and it seems like a natural thing for Jacksonville.
It was a perfect fit. I've heard different stories about how it started, but with Jacksonville's historic architecture, it just was a real natural fit. You know, it highlights the heritage of the town, which came of age during that era, and as well as the architecture that exists today.
For the folks who don't know Jacksonville that well, this is the former county seat of Jackson County, supplanted by Medford early in the 20th century.
Right.
But what is the status of the downtown that keeps it looking like it's been preserved in amber, in a sense?
Well, back in the mid-60s, the town was declared a National Historic Landmark District. And at the time, that was a new status with the federal government, and the regulations weren't well-defined. So what happened at the time is they drew the boundary around pretty much the entire town, which isn't how it's done today. They have a lot more requirements and criteria that have to be adhered to. So the districts are usually a little bit tighter, defined more tightly. But with Jacksonville, the boundaries were drawn and it enclosed pretty much the entire town because a lot of the historic buildings are spread throughout the entire town.
What does that mean for trying to make renovations on existing buildings and things like that?
There are lots of different criteria. The city code has been written specifically to protect the history of it, and there's also a historic architectural review committee where changes to any of the existing properties have to be screened and approved.
So again, you look around downtown Jacksonville, it looks like something out of the Victorian age. It just seems like a natural to have a Victorian Christmas. What are some of the components of the celebration, and how long does it go on?
Well, the celebration now is running over a five-week period. It has been just three weekends in the past, and we have expanded it. So it's kicked off last Saturday evening with the tree lighting and community caroling, and it continues next weekend, starts at 10 a.m. with the Christmas parade. And then those next three weekends also have caroling. Caroling groups will be on the street corners. There's hot cider given out at a stand set up on the main street. Horse-drawn wagon rides and Father Christmas will be set up in the historic county courthouse, too. There are also some other tours within our historic buildings. The Beekman House will be giving Victorian Christmas-themed tours, and St. Joseph's Rectory will also be open for tours.
Was there some talk of holding off until December for some of this? It seems like everybody wants to get going on Thanksgiving weekend.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we actually started the tree lighting, because people were anxious. And we also have a lot of visitors in town that weekend, too. So it was fun to create something additional to give those people to do. And when we first planned it, we thought it was just going to be a very small community event. And we're hoping for 60 people. Last year, we had about 300. And this year, we had, I think it was, the estimates are between 650 and 700.
Wow, that's a fair number of people coming out to Little Jacksonville.
Exactly.
Where did they all park? It's always a bit of an issue with Jacksonville.
Not quite sure where they parked. I was kind of in the throes of everything downtown, so I just saw people as they were arriving by foot. But
How much help do you have with the Jacksonville Chamber? I mean, the town itself is not that big. I just can't imagine there are that many people on the Chamber of Commerce, but I could be wrong.
Well, we have about a membership of around 90. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those are small businesses, though. You know, they're busy running their business, so they can't always be active in the different activities, so they contribute as they can in different ways.
Tim Balfour is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Chamber of Commerce president in Jacksonville. We're talking about Victorian Christmas. If you have questions or comments about Victorian Christmas experiences with Jacksonville, join us on the Exchange, 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So did the tree lighting and the parade used to be one event together?
Yes, they were. It was on the I can't remember if it was a Friday or Saturday evening, and the parade ended with the arrival of Father Christmas, and then he would light the tree. And that at the time, that was a much smaller tree. It was up on the balcony of one of the buildings. And since then, we've moved the tree a couple of times, but it's ended up being placed over the well that was uncovered during street work several years ago. So there's usually a well that you can see into, but it's a really good position for the tree. So we actually put a box that up and put a very large tree on it.
And so the parade then moves to daytime this year?
Right. We thought having it during the daytime, there are several different reasons. One is possibly just some warmer temperatures. It was kind of cold standing out at night. Also, having on a Saturday morning, people aren't rushing home after work to get the kids ready and try to get them fed and rushing over to get there and parked and find a spot to watch the parade. So, but it also then allows families that come in for the parade to enjoy the rest of the activities that are going on in the weekend.
And so what are some of the entries in the parade? How big a parade is this going to be?
It's not going to be a very large parade. We have about up to 15 entrants. So a marching band, some different historic-related entries, some business-related entries, some dance teams.
I was out there for the parade at night one year, and I was a little concerned about the brass instruments in particular.
Putting your lips on the brass
piece. Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so in the daytime, there's probably a little less chance of that. Mm-hmm. What information, Tim, do you have on people who travel to Jacksonville just for the Victorian Christmas?
You know, I don't have much, just some anecdotal information. I know in my old business, we used to have a bed and breakfast that initially, when we started it, we didn't get a lot of overnight visitors coming in specifically for Victorian Christmas. But that kind of changed over the 10 years we had the business, and we did see people coming in. And part of it was just, as a business owner, becoming more savvy about promoting Victorian Christmas to the summer visitors. You know, people who enjoy coming to the area and Jacksonville specifically in the summer for the Brit Festival or for the wine tasting or whatever, they weren't always aware of all these different activities that go on for Victorian Christmas. So over the past several years, we've been doing more focused promotion of the fall season, which is gorgeous in this part of the state, and then leading into Victorian Christmas and promoting that too.
Is there any particular advertising or outreach outside the area to let people know about
Just
Victorian
a little
Christmas?
Bit. Some of the different organizations have been advertising in some of the regional magazines, Northwest Travel, 1859, et cetera, just to increase that awareness.
I mean, it is Jacksonville, after all. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you didn't call it Victorian Christmas, you would have people showing up just because it's pretty and it's Christmas,
it's
right?
Very picturesque, yes. I mean, you see people having family pictures taken, especially this time of year once the decorations go up for their holiday cards.
Is there a consistent theme to decorations, as, for example, with a lot of downtown areas like in Ashland with the Festival of Lights? I mean, is mm-hmm. there a particular way that you all get together and decide we're going to do this with our lights?
Well, specifically, we adhere to just white lights, and that's one of the part of it is just the consistency factor, but it's just kind of a quainter look than the colored lights. This year we actually went to LED lights, and that had been something we wanted to do in the past. But, you know, when first they came out, they were kind of that bright bluish white.
Rather chilly looking.
Yes. And then they did come out with a warm white. So we wanted to do that for two reasons. One was the energy usage, just getting lights that didn't take so much energy. But also we wanted to continue using the strands over a period of time. Partly because of the expense, but also just from a good stewardship perspective. So this year we raised some additional money through the BedTex grant program to purchase all the lights. So the merchants didn't have to purchase lights individually. It also allowed the consistency of the lighting, the color of the lights. And then we went for a different installation technique that allowed us not to use staples, because once we staple the light strands by fire code, they can't be used again.
Really?
Right.
Oh, because you got metal staples.
It's just that concern that you're going to expose the wiring.
Wow. Who knew about the intricacies of things like Christmas decorations?
It's all kinds of stuff. So in addition to the lights, then we just encourage natural greenery and red bows and ribbons. And so that's kind of the guidelines.
That is sort of Victorian historically accurate.
Right, right. And being in Oregon, it's a good place to get natural greenery. So you'll see the buildings decorated a little differently this year. Last year, we actually had a coordinated effort with the garland. But this year, we just encouraged all the downtown businesses to do whatever they wanted. So there's more of a combination of wreaths, sprays, and garland, too.
Tim Balfour, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the chamber president in Jacksonville, Oregon, which celebrates a Victorian Christmas. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about the celebration and the components thereof. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Take a look at our Facebook page, and you'll see Tim smiling back at you from the page from just a few moments ago. So you mentioned horse carriage rides. So where do people get those, and how much do they cost, et cetera?
That's actually horse-drawn wagon rides. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of Belgium horses, and this has been a long-standing tradition in Jacksonville. They depart from the corner of 3rd and California Street by the Beekman Bank, where the trolley normally would take off if people are aware of that that area.
And how far do they go?
The ride is about a 20-minute ride. They just kind of go through town. It's not a narrated tour or anything. It's just kind of enjoying the sights. And generally, the children just enjoy the action or activity of being in a horse-drawn wagon. And the horses are very impressive. They're large. They enjoy their work. And the kids enjoy seeing the horses, too.
Are these the one-ton draft horses, the ones with the fuzzy feet?
Yes, very big Belgians.
What are some of the other – what are the things that people do tend to come to Jacksonville for during this celebration? I mean, you have the extras like the Victorian stuff, but do they tend to come to eat? Is there some retail component? I know I saw the recent story about Sheffels, the iconic toy store, changing up things a bit.
Well, the unique aspect of Jacksonville is that all of the stores are independently owned. There are no franchises or chain stores in town. So each of the businesses, you know, creates its own atmosphere and environment and with its own merchandising. So the shopping experience in Jacksonville is very pleasant because a lot of times you're dealing with the store owners and understand that they're very purpose-driven in how they select merchandise for their customers and their stores. And then it's also just to eat. So it's there are a lot of different restaurants, cafes, bistros. Also, there are a lot of in-town tasting room, wine tasting rooms too. So it's a really comfortable way to spend a day, an evening, a weekend, just very relaxed. It's all very walkable. And it changes that whole holiday shopping experience from the stress-filled mall scene to just the stroll through a charming town.
There are things to look at other than the food court.
Yeah.
not to rag on malls too much here. Are there any concerns, particularly with the retail part of things, that in the age of Amazon, as we get further in, that that the retail experience is going to be drastically different and could really affect a place like Jacksonville small stores?
Absolutely. That's a big concern because they don't have the purchasing power of a large national entity. So, you know, the prices are going to be different, but you know they rely on selecting merchandise that won't be carried in bigger stores. But also, they emphasize the service and the personal interaction. And again, it is the shopping experience versus just buying online. It's that whole experience of you know seeing, touching, and feeling the merchandise, interacting with the person who's brought that merchandise in, and they are also very knowledgeable about their merchandise. They know where the items have been made and what the history or story behind them is.
Particularly a place like the antique store where you got to trace things back in time as well.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned the bed tax earlier, which is the standard hotel motel tax, and that goes – where does that go?
It goes into a fund, and the official name is the transient lodging tax. But we tend to just call it the bed tax. So all of the lodging entities in Jacksonville are required to collect that. There's a 1% tax that is the state tax, and that goes into the fund Travel Oregon, the state travel organization. But the remainder of the tax goes into a city fund, and part of that, about 50% of that fund, is allocated currently to fund the visitor center in Jacksonville. And then the rest of it goes, part of it goes to a small portion goes to city administration, but then there are two funds. One is the grant fund that different entities can apply for to. It's everything from marketing to beautification projects. And then another portion of that goes into a pool that the Lodging Association allocates for marketing of the town.
And that's where it really comes into play for things like Victorian Christmas.
Absolutely.
So any idea how much money people spend when they come to visit at Christmas time? I mean, I'm sure it's a bit different from, you know, the onslaughts you get in the summertime when the Brit festivals are open, there are concerts on the hillside and all that.
Yeah, actually, I don't have that kind of information at hand.
And so is there a particular, is there, I mean, it looks like you have things through spread across 5 weekends mm-hmm. here. So there's no one weekend, it looks like, that is bigger than any other? Or is there a key moment?
It kind of depends on, it depends on what people's interest is. The parade brings a lot of people into town. And then for that fifth weekend, the Beekman House tours, or specifically an activity that's going on in that fifth weekend. The idea was Carolyn Kingsnorth, who coordinates a lot of the activities for the Beekman House, was seeing that the weekend after Christmas, a lot of family visitors are still in town and anxious for something to do. So they've decided to continue the Beekman House tours onto that weekend. And that weekend specifically, they're doing something to raise money for Access Food Project. So on December 27th or 28th, the tour admissions will only be $2 if they bring canned goods for Access, if the visitors bring canned goods, or if they pay full tour admission. Historic Jacksonville Incorporated will donate the difference to Access. So that specifically is going on. Also at Art Presence, which is a consortium of local artists, they will be open that weekend too. They will be open all the weekends, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they're doing a special exhibit called Small Treasures. And the intent of that is to have smaller scale artwork that may be more suitable for gift giving. So it is available for purchase too.
Okay, so right up through the weekend after Christmas. I don't have time to take the call because we're just almost out of time, but Marilyn and Ashland wants to know, where were the street singers? Where do you find
the carol singers? You just have to look for them. Usually they're often on the corner of 3rd and California, but they do stroll.
Mm-hmm. So generally on California Street, which is
generally on California Street, since that is the main street in town.
Okay, that is Victorian Christmas in Jacksonville. Tim Balfour is the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Tim, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange, and have a great month.
Thank you, Jeff.